Work it out with me, baby. Work it out with me, baby.
What a nice perky way to come on the air this morning. That's right, I said perky. I am Mike on the mic. This is WMFO at 9:02 in the morning on, it's already February 4th, isn't it, Mark Hurwitz and Les Hurwitz?
It is. Am I on the mic here?
Yeah.
I can't hear myself. Now I can hear myself.
Yeah. It's always been a little bit.
Yeah.
It was that one.
I thought you were shutting me off already.
That'll take a while.
But we won't talk about that.
That'll take a while. So welcome, you guys.
Good morning.
Kind of a surprise you're here. We really didn't expect to have you here today, but...
Hey, things happen.
Well, you can't always choose. You know?
Well, what's that phrase, man plans and God laughs, or it's the other way around? I don't know.
Yeah. So, Les, I noticed something about you today. You're wide awake. Your quips are coming right off and... Yeah, you're just
I'm at best for the first 3 minutes of the day, and that's it. Goodbye.
That's not true. All right, so obviously Mark and Les are here. They've been here many times, and really, really excited to have them both here. I do want to tell you a little bit about the plan for today. Les has got about 40 minutes of some really nice stuff, and I'm going to just read you what he said he would plan for today. He's going to give an oral perspective about the history of exploration into the possibilities considered and ultimately realized of the issues pertaining to physical technique as they apply to a concert piano. So you'll share 5 brief performances by some of the giants spread out among the past 3 generations, and that's going to certify the miracle of what you call pyrotechnique, and should be one of the exciting and fun presentations done so far by you, the world's most venerable disc jockey.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to mention, first of all, I didn't know that I expressed myself in words of more than one syllable, but there's one word, pyrotechnique, which makes sense when I talk about it, but there is no such word in the dictionary, so it shows how inventive I am.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah, so we're going to try and start your set with those 5 piano tracks before 9:30, and Mark, you're going to have some industry news, some reviews, and you've got a set of music today as well.
Exactly, and I'll be getting into anthems, rock anthems. Mm. We had talked about this briefly, how in the 70s you had the supergroups, the arena rock bands with all these anthems, which we all know which songs we're talking about. And but after that, it seemed like anthems disappeared, and I just want to get into anthems from alt-rock bands that people don't really know about, but for the alt-rock fans, they're total rock anthems. So it should be interesting, hopefully.
Very cool. Look forward to that. That'll be sometime just after 10 o'clock if everything goes well. But for now, at 9:05 in the morning, welcome everybody. Glad you're here. Want to start you off with some new noise. The artist this morning that's going to start us off is called Dead Man Winter, and this is a track called Danger. This is WMFO in Medford.
To my health, stranger to myself. Liquefy the day, realize that I remember nothing else. Looking up at December skies, but the sky. Took my heart by surprise. I wasn't expecting that.
Wake up, baby, what you in for? Stop the day. my ears, will you?
Good morning, everybody. It is WMFO right here in Medford, 9:25 in the morning. I am Mike on the mic. How are you? How you doing, Mark? How you doing, Les?
Fine.
Not too bad. Nice day out there.
It's the same beautiful thing every day. Time you guys are here. You just talk over each other, but it's nice. It's almost like you're related.
Yeah, it could be. See, yeah, we're talking
blood
about each
other. Blood is thinner than water.
Blood is thinner than water. I see. All right, let me tell you all what I played in that first set, and then we're going to pivot right over to our friend Les. For some good stuff. All right, I started off with New Noise from a band called Dead Man Winter. Their CD is new, as I said, called Furnace, and that was Danger. And when I heard it before, and then when I played it this morning, Mark and I were talking, and it sounded so familiar. And he is the lead singer from Trampled by Turtles.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And when I first heard it, I said, I know this. This guy sounds very familiar. Yeah. And I looked it up, and yeah, it is him.
Yep. Well, I was too lazy to look it up, so thank you for doing that.
You are pretty lazy.
Then went into Jamie Lawson, who had this CD come out last year. He's a protege of Ed Sheeran, actually, and that was called Wasn't Expecting That. Then we had a request for our friend Michael Linsky, Aerosmith from the Done With Mirrors CD. That was My Fist, Your Face. Mission of Burma. It was a re-recorded live version, not re-recorded, but live version of Panic Is No Option off of that 30 Days, 30 Songs CD. And last one was new from Blondie. She's got something new called Pollinator that's due out in May. And that's the first single from it, or the advance single, I guess, called Fun.
And people don't realize she's, like you were saying, she's 70.
Like 70 years old.
Because she started pretty late when, you know, the whole CBGB thing. Yeah. And started punk rock, which, you know, Blondie was really a big part of that, the punk rock scene in New York.
Mm-hmm.
But she was already, I think she was already in her 30s when everything started there in the mid-70s. So.
Yeah, and maybe back then she was a natural Blondie. I don't know.
All right, then. Well, try the veal.
All right, quick pivot over to Les. Hi, Les.
Hi, Mike. Good morning.
Good morning. So you've got some nice piano music, don't you?
Well, it's more than nice, and I would ask those hordes of you listening to us at this moment to pay very close attention to this so-called teacher talking to you right now so that you can really benefit from what I'm about to say in terms of the description. I'm going to deal with each of the pieces you're going to hear from one perspective followed by another, the first being a description of the history of what you're listening to as a result of what you're listening to, and also what the pianist has to deal with in that particular piece. And so we're going to talk today about the history of the possibilities given the human being by way of what I call pyrotechnique. When Beethoven wrote music for the piano and developed his vocabulary, and especially by the time he gets into the middle part of the first decade of the 19th century, his music becomes so powerful, both emotionally and physically, that the pianos at that time, early pianos, relatively early pianos, were made almost all of wood. And so very little metal was involved in the making of pianos at that time. And believe it or not, there is documentation given to us that at times some of Beethoven's sonatas done at this particular period, and even before Beethoven became totally deaf and was still playing, parts of the piano flew out over the first three rows of an audience. And I mean, the pianos were being destroyed by the music he was playing. And so music had to involve itself with the changing of pianos. And someday I'll talk about a watershed decision made by someone today, Daniel Barenboim, a great pianist who just redesigned a piano. And if that piano is taken in by the jury, and I mean the other great pianists, a completely different way of playing the music that we've been hearing for the last two centuries may have to be changed. Can you imagine that? But that's another subject. Along the way, and from Beethoven's time on, a perusal of the piano as it developed, and very quickly, pianos were being redesigned with wood, iron, brass, you name it. And when we look at a piano today, we can see the reason why Beethoven's music had to be met by the challenge of the change of the design of the instrument. You know, when Bach wrote his music, back, well, he was born, what, 1685 and died in 1750. He left almost no directions in his keyboard music because he knew that the instruments would be in constant change. And talk about a crystal ball. This man was more than a composer. He was a true visionary. At any rate, you're going to hear in the first piece, and by the way, we're dealing with transcriptions, which are, for the most part, arrangements of tunes already having been composed. But in this case, the first piece you're going to hear is an original piece. It's a prelude by a Russian national composer. His name is Dmitri Kabalevsky, who was a very, very well-known composer coming out of Mother Russia during the 20th century and reaching his height around the middle of the 20th century. And this piece is one of many preludes in a particular opus that Kavalevsky wrote. And I can remember I was 8 years old when my father took me to my first Horowitz concert. And among the pieces that Horowitz played, who was then at his height, technically, physically, that day changed the entire life that I was to follow. I kept asking myself, even at age 8, how can this be done? And you're going to ask the same question when you hear this piece. One of the preludes by Kavalevsky, What to Listen For, and by the way, this is Vladimir Horowitz, arguably the greatest technician coming out of the 20th century, certainly one of the most powerful pianists coming out of the 20th century. This is a recording made at the time I was 8, at the Eastman Theater in Rochester, New York. Can you believe this? You're going to hear the same performance. So I thought, maybe isn't this a small world? What to listen for in this prelude is simply speed. The composer was dealing with a piece of such great drama that speed and involvement of the notes, and every note that you hear is written down, is what the great pianist has to deal with. Why don't we listen now to one of the preludes of Dmitri Kavalevsky as played by Vladimir Horowitz. What do you think? Did you hear it? It went so quickly. What happened, right? An extremely difficult piece. But every piece you hear today will be built upon the reality of the question of the challenge. And through investigatory techniques on the part of both composer and pianist. Now, here's an example. Everybody knows this piece. It's from the Nutcracker Suite, but it is a transcription written by a Russian who is alive today. He was born in 1957. His name is Mikhail. By the way, that's Michael, and I think that name is familiar in this station.
Mm-hmm.
Pletnev, Pletnev. He is one of the premier pianists of today, and this is his reduction, piano reduction. And by the way, he did the entire Nutcracker Suite, and this is one of the pieces. It's called Trepak, T-R-E-P-A-K, in case you want to check it out, which is a Russian national dance. You know the music, but think of this. All of the fingers, all ten fingers, have to capture the orchestral version, and therein lies the difficulty. Listen. Okay, believe it or not, every note you heard is a written note. And notice, too, those of you who really know the music, the parts, all of the parts around the melody coming out of the orchestral parts. Keep in mind that the pianist with 10 fingers is replicating various instrumentalists playing out of an orchestra. Very difficult thing. I involve myself with the reality we call simultaneity. How much can be done at the same time on the piano? And that's the name of the game with the transcription. Now, I thought I'd inject a little bit of a different change in direction, and we're going to go to jazz. We're going to hear Art Tatum, the great pianist who is still being caught up to, both technically and in terms of, and what you're going to hear, patterns. And the reason you're hearing Tatum now in the middle of all this is that Horowitz, the great Horowitz, was an admirer, an open admirer of Art Tatum. And although he knew nothing about and had no concept of jazz or pop, he knew, as a pianist, what Tatum could do on the instrument. And eventually they became friends, and it's one of the strangest and most unique friendships you will have ever heard about. Perhaps I could talk to you about it sometime. Listen, and by the way, Horowitz, listen to the piece you're going to be hearing now. It's a tune called Moonglow. And what captivated Horowitz was a patterns that came out of the chords that were almost endless and incredibly quick. The techniques that you heard in the Kavalevsky Prelude. Listen to Art Tatum and Moonglow before it starts, so hang in there. Just to remind you that Tatum barely saw the piano he played on his whole life. He was legally blind. Don't forget. We've discussed this genius. More than a genius, a kind of miracle. Horowitz once said, and it was replicated in the New York Times on the first page the day after, and it sensationalized the reader. Horvitz said, "I wish I could play like Art Tatum." And what he meant by that is that with the technique he had, he wished that he could deal with the freedom of improvisation, which in classical music is non-existent. And that is existent. And that's one of the reasons I think Horvitz went on the approach toward writing transcriptions to have frozen frozen improvisation. So there's a tie in there that's stronger than most people realize, even some historians don't even realize, the impact that this jazz pianist had on Vladimir Horvitz and ensuing pianists who think the same way, even up to this very day. Tatum is, in a sense, a kind of Bach in the 20th century. He's way ahead of his time. Not only with the sounds you heard, the patterns that came out of him. Oscar Peterson, the great pianist, got as close to Tatum as any jazz pianist I know of in terms of a protracted patterns, but Tatum still is being caught up with both harmonically. He still harmonically is ahead of the game in a lot of the ideas that he did 70 and 80 years ago. So let's keep in mind that Tatum was an incredible influence upon music and on both sides, both the classical and in the jazz. Now you're going to hear something by the composer Prokofiev. Most of you may not know him, but all of you will know what he wrote in terms of the composition Peter and the Wolf. That's what he wrote. And the whole world knows that. However, in reality, Prokofiev is one of the most powerful and individual composers to come out of the 20th century. The piece you're going to hear is a piece he wrote as a student while still at the Moscow Conservatoire. And at times, he flunked courses because he was so far ahead of the professors, they thought he was wrong. And keep in mind that the great genius performer, many of them don't have degrees at all. I'm not poo-pooing education. I'm in it myself. But what I'm saying is that many times, in spite of education, the genius performer will make it. In spite of, you know, it's because of education, but in spite of education, he gets there. Prokofiev drove his professors crazy, and here's one piece that they did not understand. Now, what to listen for in the toccata. Toccata in Italian means touch. A touch piece that goes all the way back to organ playing half a millennium ago was a piece that ultimately became a piece of how difficult can it get to touch the keyboard, how to touch the keyboard. In this case, Prokofiev examines, and this is really fantastic. Try to envision every note that you hear is brought up and down with wrist motion. The wrists have to be totally limp. It takes years and years to develop this kind of technique, even amongst the geniuses. This piece is so difficult, and the dissonances in it, interspersed by some pieces of melody that you'll hear, and you'll say, hey, I like that tune, and then it disappears, and the grinding nature of distortion comes back. It's an incredibly powerful piece. Just listen to it as a sound piece that is controlled intellectually, and listen to the repeat notes and how quickly the wrist has to come up and down on these repeat notes. Vladimir Horovitz, again, in this case, doing the toccata by Sergei Prokofiev. Thank you. imagine that piece playing being played for the first time in a class at the conservatoire, in any conservatoire, written by the student playing it? Prokofiev played it. It must have absolutely sensationalized the atmosphere around. What we're going to hear now, we're going to go to George Gershwin, believe it or not. And of course, the many great tunes that he, great vocals that he wrote are still being sung all the time, two which have the word rhythm in it. Fascinating rhythm, no G at the end of the, in the title, and also I Got Rhythm. Now, these had been thought of as piano pieces by an American pianist, his name Earl Wild, W-I-L-D. Sadly, his name isn't bandied around very much these days, but very frankly, I have to consider that Earl Wild was one of those few American-trained pianists who are every bit the equal of the pianists that we've heard in the past from Europe. He was trained here in this country. He was born in Philadelphia, and he died, I think, in New York just 4 years ago. He died at the age of 94. Now, first of all, unbelievable is the reality that the recordings you're going to hear he made when he was 80 years old. 80 years old. Extremely difficult transcriptions. He himself took from Gershwin the Fascinating Rhythm and I Got Rhythm. You're going to hear one after the other. Earl Wild is one of the most gifted musicians to come out of America. He was a jazz pianist. He was also a classical pianist. Well, you're going to hear jazz right now. But he had the one of the widest repertoires of any of the pianists of the 20th century, primarily of the 20th century, and was invited by Arturo Toscanini, believe it or not, to be his first staff pianist with the NBC Symphony Orchestra. And you can hear as many recordings of Chopin and Liszt. He was a great Liszt pianist, but he also played all around the world his version of the tunes from Snow White. So this man was incredibly gifted. Listen to these Gershwin tunes transcribed by and played by the pianist Earl Wild. Thank you. do you think? Earl Wilde. You know, Earl Wilde was the only pianist who played for six presidents, starting with Herbert Hoover. And he died at age 94. He was still playing at age 90, still playing with this kind of youth, just an incredibly gifted musician. He was also the first pianist to give the first American live TV performance. So this guy really should be remembered. Now, the final piece, you'll finally get rid of me after this piece. This is called, and everybody knows it by title, The Flight of the Bumblebee by Rimsky-Korsakov, originally written for the orchestra. Here is a piano transcription, a reduction of this particular piece. What to listen for, by the way, another Russian, one who very much is alive today, was born 1972. His name is Arkady Volodos, A-R-C-A-D-I-V-O-L-O-D-O-S. An incredible technician and quite a well-known musician at this point. Now, this deals with the issue of incredibly quick movement in alternation between left and right hand to create the impression of the fluttering wings of a bee up in your ear. And listen to this thing. It's incredible. Have fun. Perusal of the possibilities of the techniques as given to the instrument, making the piano really a kind of semi-portable orchestra when you think of the possibilities that can come out of it. Volodos is very well known today. The investigation into the techniques dealing with the piano will, you know, never end, of course. And by the way, the history of this in terms of concentration really begins during the career of Liszt. So we're talking about from the middle, approximately, of the 19th century, right up to and through this particular day. One day, if Mike gives me permission, perhaps I could do a list of the transcriptions of Vladimir Horowitz, who set the pattern for the transcriptions primarily for the modern pianist. And just to give you an idea for a moment about the technology that goes on, the reality that Horowitz never wrote out his transcriptions, I think believing that why even do it? No one's going to be able to play these pieces anyway. And I think he went happily to his grave knowing that these transcriptions would never be played because he didn't write them and he didn't figure anybody's going to be able to play them anyway. But of course, through the age of computation and a man in Japan, all of the transcriptions of Horowitz have been committed to manuscript and can be gotten. And believe it or not, just to show you the technology of teaching, where it's gone, I heard a recording of a 17-year-old playing one of Horowitz's transcriptions. So change is constant. And perhaps next time we can go on with change, which is never-ending in music as well. Thank you so much for listening.
All right, Les, that was just awesome. You could see the reactions of both of us here.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really, really something else.
You weren't looking?
He had his eyes
kind
closed.
Our mouths were half open. Well, actually, they usually are. We're just kind of drooling here, but...
Really? Isn't it amazing what's out there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine.
That's why I'm doing this. What's out there is what is not known generally. And that's why I'm here. That's why Mike takes me in.
That's right. Plus, you look awfully cold, so I have to bring you in.
Yeah, you do look cold.
All right.
We'll have to bring in a heater next time.
Thank you so much. All right, everybody. It's just before 10 a.m. here in the morning. This is WMFO Medford. I'm going to play a little public service announcement, follow it up with some Stones, and then we're going to come back with Mr. Hurwitz and some tracks that he's chosen to play for you today.
Oh, the other Mr. Hurwitz.
The other Mr. Hurwitz.
Yeah, the immature one.
We'll be back in just a second here at WMFO.
So I'm a cat. And I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.